Susanne, Fritz und Steve Swell sind hier bei mir im Studio. Und das hat einen Grund, nämlich am Donnerstag, das ist der 18. September, werden sie auftreten im E-Werk hier in Freiburg.
Mhm.
Mit einem interessanten Stück, das trägt den Titel Sterben ist persönlicher als Sex. In English it would be to die is more personal than sex, or than sex, how would you translate it?
That's exactly how I read
okay.
it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting title, isn't
very
it?
Very interesting.
Ja, aber also das ist auf deinen Mist gewachsen, Susanne.
Mhm.
Ja, vielleicht
schöner Mist, ja.
Hoffentlich. Ja, also vielleicht kannst du erstmal über dich selber allgemein erzählen, wer du bist, was du machst und wie deine Arbeit aussieht, bevor wir dann auf dieses Stück konkret kommen.
Na, der Titel, kommt mir jetzt gerade so in den Sinn, deutet natürlich schon an, worum es mir oft in meiner Arbeit geht. Und es sind Schwellensituationen, ja, Momente, die gerade noch das eine und noch nicht das andere sind. Ich bin noch nicht draußen, aber ich bin auch nicht mehr drinnen. Ich bin noch nicht alt, aber ich bin noch nicht mehr jung. Ich lebe noch, aber bin schon ein bisschen tot. Ja. Wie kam ich zu diesem Titel? Er fällt nicht. Ich habe gedacht, er wäre in der Geschichte drin. Also es ist eine Erzählung, die ich geschrieben habe mit diesem Titel. Und diese Worte kommen so aber nicht vor. Es ist wirklich nur der Titel wie in der Art von Zusammenfassung. Und es geht tatsächlich um eine Sterbesituation. Und eine Situation, in der viele Dinge, die vorher das Leben dieses Menschen, dieses Mannes bestimmt haben, nicht mehr funktionieren. Und plötzlich geht was komplett Neues los. Und die Besucherin ist erstmal geschockt, jemanden vorzufinden, dem offenbar seine heiligen Prinzipien gar nicht mehr heilig sind, ja, sondern der sich völlig anders verhält, auch wenn er sich gar nicht anders verhalten kann mehr. Er kann nicht mehr so schön sprechen. Er hat immer von seiner geliebten deutschen Sprache gesprochen und jetzt schreit er und stöhnt nur noch und fordert auch ziemlich heftig ihre Nähe ein.
Und das ist ein Verwandtschaftsverhältnis, Cousin und Cousine?
Genau.
Könnte es auch ein anderes Verhältnis sein?
Überhaupt nicht. Letztlich dachte ich, ich muss irgendwie einen Hinweis geben auf ein nicht zu nahes Verhältnis.
Also keine Beziehung.
Es ist eben nicht Mann und Frau. Ich glaube, das würde sich nochmal ganz anders, dann wären die Assoziationen doch nochmal andere.
Wobei das ja wahrscheinlich die realistischste und häufigste oder eine der häufigsten Konstellationen ist im Sterbezustand,
ja.
Also Mann und Frau oder ja. Eltern, Kinder, also ja. eben diese extrem ja. enge Beziehung.
Ja, oder Eltern, Kinder, genau. That's where what we talked about, the relationship between this dying person or maybe dying person and the other one watching this person, maybe...
We were having very good conversation just before about death and experience it in different ways. in Suzanne's experience with her father and mother, it was something she knew was happening. And I had a situation with my fiancé of a long time, just a few years ago, where she collapsed and I thought she had died. And I was unprepared for it. So there's a variety of experience in this area that's, you know, I think not enough of it has been fleshed out or talked about or, you know, defined really, really well. You know, she had a lot of time to think about it and go through a process with it where,
mm-hmm.
and you also had the time with your brother
yes.
too, which was also unexpected.
Exactly.
So. There's a lot of material.
ja.
Zu explore.
Du wolltest noch mal ansetzen?
Auf diese Frage, ob es einen Unterschied macht, ob es eben, welche Art von Verhältnis es ist, in diesem Fall sind sie eben nicht zu nahe, aber sie kennen sich über einen sehr, sehr langen Zeitraum. Gut genug, um zu wissen, wie der andere mal, ich sag mal, war bis dahin,
mhm.
bis diese ganz große Veränderung einsetzte,
mhm.
die dann plötzlich auch mhm. sehr schnell gehen kann.
Ja, es ist ja auch eine einseitige Veränderung. Also es ist ja nur, dass in dem Fall er
ja,
sich jetzt,
genau.
also es wird so dargestellt, also der hat keine Kontrolle mehr, lässt sich total gehen, vergisst und verliert seine guten Eigenschaften, wenn man
mhm.
so will.
Die er sein was, Leben lang gepflegt hat.
Ja, also wo er auch sich darüber definiert hat, was Teil seiner
mhm.
Identität war.
Mhm.
Dann ist eben auch die Frage, wer bin ich eigentlich? Ja? Also was ist mein mhm. wahres Ich? Ist
mhm.
das, wenn im Moment des Todes, wenn dann alles
mhm.
unzensiert rauskommen darf und muss und die letzte Chance besteht, ist das mein wahres Ich oder das, was ich 80 Jahre
das
zuvor
gelebt habe? Das ist eine sehr, sehr, sehr gute Frage.
immer dachte zu sein oder vorgab zu sein, also sowas kommt daraus. Aber genau, der Ansatz war das Einseitige. Das ist auch ein bisschen ungerecht. Ja, das die Cousine, die ihn besucht, noch ja, alles im Griff hat und ihn so erleben
muss. Ich sage es mal, nur eine Frage von Zeit.
Aber er wird sie wahrscheinlich umgekehrt nie so erleben.
Ja, das ist einseitig und das ist auch ein Teil der Problematik tatsächlich. Die Intimität, und das unterscheidet es vielleicht auch in diesem Titel, in dem so vieles anklingt, der Sex und das Sterben. Also zwei sehr, sehr große Wörter. Große Begriffe. Es passiert gleichzeitig mit dem, ich sag mal, Zeugen dieses Geschehens auch sehr, sehr viel. Es ist natürlich nicht diese Öffnung zum Tod hin, aber Steve hat es vorhin auch beschrieben, es, in dieser Beziehung war seit diesem Erlebnis nichts mehr gleich, ja? Sondern dieses Nahtoderlebnis, sie ist ja, hat es ja nochmal überlebt, jetzt in diesem Fall, hat beide sehr stark verändert. Ja, weil da auch erstmal eine Grenze überschritten war, das Alltägliche war erstmal durchbrochen. Ja. Und da gibt es auch nicht mehr so ein ganz richtiges Zurück hin.
Mhm.
Ja.
Mhm.
Vielleicht auch Gott sei Dank.
Mhm. Ba 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 Ja, und noch was, was mir aufgefallen ist, wenn man mal bei diesem Titel bleibt, Sterben ist persönlicher als Sex. Sex ist was, was in der Regel oder hoffentlich von beiden ein aktiver, gewollter Akt ist und Sterben eben nicht. Ja? Also haben wir das wieder mit der Kontrolle. Und insofern ist es vielleicht ja, deswegen persönlicher, weil ich mich nicht dazu entscheide, zu sterben, sondern das passiert mit mir.
Ja, es ist natürlich eine ganz extreme, das Ausgesetztsein, ja. Wir werden da nicht gefragt, wie du es völlig zu Recht sagst. Wir werden nicht gefragt, ob wir geboren werden wollen, sondern das passiert. Und was im Moment ja mit dieser ganzen Diskussion um die Sterbehilfe geht, da wollen wir es jetzt, eigentlich wollen wir es einfangen, ja. Und wollen es auch wieder gestalten und kontrollieren und für uns abrufbar machen. Also es ist da muss man eigentlich sehr gut drüber nachdenken, ob wir das wirklich wollen und wie wir das wollen und in welche Hände das, falls wir es wollen, gehört. Ne? Ja, aber was ist die Frage, was das Intime auch ausmacht? Ich glaube, ich habe mehrere Sterbesituationen erlebt und was ich persönlich, du sagst natürlich völlig zu Recht, es ist einseitig. Man sitzt an einem Bett und jemand macht einen Prozess, geht einen unglaublichen Weg und man kann diesem Weg ein Stück irgendwie an der Seite mitgehen und dann trennt sich's. Und dann wird es natürlich für den anderen sehr einsam, aber auch der zurückbleibt. Und da passiert was, was wirklich jenseits der Konventionen geht und unserer Vorstellungen und ganz andere Kräfte, die da beginnen zu wirken. Und da hilft uns keine Maske mehr und keine Vorstellung, wie wir es jetzt gerne hätten, sondern, und ich glaube, das meinte ich mit diesem persönlich. Mhm. Ja, wir sind da, jetzt kriege ich gerade Gänsehaut, weil ich mir gerade die Situation genau. Also, vorgestellt habe.
Was,
ja.
Was passiert mit der Überlebenden? Also welche persönlichen Momente kommen da? Da kommen ja auch dann ganz authentische und tiefe Gefühle zum Beispiel raus, die vielleicht sonst verdeckt waren, aber genau in diesem Moment, den du gerade beschrieben hast, also wo man diesen letzten gemeinsamen Weg geht und dann geht es auseinander.
Ich will es mal von der Folge erzählen. Vielleicht klingt es ein bisschen heftig oder verrückt, wenn ich das sage, aber es kam mir anschließend, immer wenn ich solche Extremsituationen erlebt habe, der Alltag oder die Normalität unglaublich flach vor. Ja, weil ich dachte, was plänkeln wir eigentlich rum? Womit vertun wir oder verleben wir unsere Zeit? Ja, es ist so, dieses Wort kann sehr falsch verstanden werden, wenn ich sage, es ist was Großartigeres. Ja, ich bin kein Fan und ich freue mich nicht drauf, wenn ich persönlich da mal da zu liegen. Ja, oder wie auch immer, aber ahnst du, was ich meine? Ja. Oder soll ich noch ein bisschen
erschienen versuchen? Also der Alltag erscheint trivial.
Es erschien trivialer, ja. Nicht, hatte nicht diese Tiefe, ja, diese
Persönlichkeit. Aber das kann ja auch was Erleichterndes haben, finde ich. Wenn man dann im Alltag wieder ist und denkt, naja, das ist doch alles halb so wild, verglichen mit dem, was ich jetzt...
Auch das. Und gleichzeitig natürlich auch verbunden, vermutlich ist es auch ein Effekt dann der Trauer, der andere Mensch ist weg, dass es sich erstmal doch alles flacher anfühlt. Das ist...
ja. So im Sinne von Leere.
Ja. Ja. Aber.
Vielleicht können wir das ja mal kurz grob übersetzen oder zusammenfassen, ja, was wir gesagt haben.
Ich lehne mich mal so lang zurück okay. Und trinke einen Schluck.
Yeah, we spoke about the differences and the between sex and death or dying. And what is the intimate or the personal thing about dying, especially in opposite to sex. And I said that if you die, you don't decide to die. And if you have sex, you always decide to do it.
I think that's one difference for sure.
And then when you're dying, you are 100% you have to be with yourself and by yourself, you say
You're not sharing it in, like sex you would have. But they say also when you have an orgasm, that they call that, I don't know if they have the same expression in German, they probably do, but they call that little death.
The petit mort in
French. Yeah, exactly. So there's a sense of that you're losing consciousness. So there's a similarity, actually, between death and sex. And also just pertaining to music for myself, I know as an improviser and as a writer, composer, you kind of like have to lose some of your own consciousness or self-consciousness and find some other level of thinking and creating that's very similar to losing consciousness in sex or in dying. You're losing that ego sense of yourself. That's what we think is happening when you die, you know.
But so it's a positive.
I think it's all positive, and I think we're trying to look at death more as a positive experience than it's been thought about and talked about, you know, like how horrible. I mean, you know, there are deaths that are horrible and people die too young, but, these are all the themes we're going to explore. So.
Unfortunately or fortunately, you only die once.
Yeah.
But you can have thousands of orgasms.
Yeah.
For me, music is a kind of sex with several orgasms. You have always the improvisation, and then
I was about to
That's
to put this concept of music.
Yeah, yeah. There's peaks
in between this
peaks. Concept, there's peaks and valleys,
and then there's this little applause after the peak.
That depends on the person that you're with, I think, more than anything. But, be nice. Maybe who knows? Maybe we'll evolve some point where we know death is such a good, you know, we know, kind of really know what happens, and we'll get applause at the end of, you know, at the end of a hospice stay. I don't know. But, I mean, this is a fascinating topic, you know. I mean, I was thinking also sex, you do it with somebody else, but also, you know, there's those times you do it by yourself, too. So that you know, I don't know how that correlates to dying, but Suzanne's experience with her parents is you shared in that experience, so it's a very different.
Up to a certain point, you can share it.
Yeah.
But
But at some point, do you realize they are totally alone and they've disconnected from you? You can feel that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is this definite moment when they disconnect and you cannot touch them and or get in touch with them anymore.
You are together now by accident, more or less. How was the development of your cooperation?
Lightly by accident. We met at a... We have a mutual friend who was playing in a band of mine, Pascal Niegenkemper, and we're both playing Gebhard Ullmann's band, who's a wonderful saxophone player from Berlin. And we were in Freiburg a year and a half ago.
Yes.
And Pascal knows Suzanne, and their families know each other. And Suzanne came to the concert, and we had a wonderful conversation. And this is what happens when you have a good conversation. Maybe some interesting project happens from it. And
yeah.
I was going to be here, so Suzanne was very kind to put this together. And I love doing interesting things that are, you know, I'll get to use some improvising with her text, and we'll put really
so
develop
the
something
text
nicely.
Was the first thing, and then you improvised.
Do you know the text?
No, I don't know the text. I just know, I just have what you sent me. So I have the general idea, but we're going to be developing it.
So it's your really personal and private interpretation of her ideas.
Yes.
I guess so. Maybe she'll give me a couple of things to tell me what to do, which is fine also, of course.
That's what we are going to do now, to put this together.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And have you ever listened to it, what he plans to do?
No.
Oh, no, she heard me play, but she hasn't.
Yeah, especially for this project, no?
Oh, she'll hear it. She'll hear it tomorrow.
Interesting.
But that's kind of nice
also. It's
very
exciting.
Yeah, so maybe it doesn't fit at all for you together, maybe.
That's fine.
Sometimes that works. Mm. Sometimes in improvising, I know with other musicians, you take two, three people with three different styles, completely different ideas about how, and they're just go against each other. And somehow it works.
Okay. So it's also a kind of communication and with instruments and arguing and...
Yeah, all of it. Yeah. Arguing, telling jokes, all of it together.
Yes, and Steve doesn't have to illustrate my thoughts or my words.
Yeah.
Otherwise...
Yeah, that'd be too...
He's free to create his...
More interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll come up with something really good.
And you are playing as well the piano, right?
A little bit, yes.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. In the first part or?
Only in the second part. The first part will be the silent movie. You will get to know.
Right, you were telling me
about
it. We're working it out now, actually.
Right? Yes. Because I changed the program a little bit. Yeah, I thought of another text, but... I let it now off because an argument. It's too big for.
But it's not unusual to, like, I just played two nights in Berlin where I actually didn't know any of the musicians. They were contacts that people recommended, and we played beautiful music together for the first time. And sometimes that's the best music you can make. Not knowing each other and coming together and. You really have to listen. So even though we're going to have a day or two to develop some things where there's the sense of improvisation.
That's a lot for you, huh?
That's a lot for me. Actually, it really is. It really is. In New York, if you get one rehearsal, you're very lucky. So this little kind of dangerous risk factor. I mean, she knows what she's got, her text ideas and everything. So putting it together will be fun and interesting and challenging. So.
And you will read the text.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. Reading and then the trombone?
There will be two parts. The first part is only the reading, only words and voice and trombone. And the second part is this Sterben ist persönlicher als Sex. And there we will play together as well with piano and trombone.
Yeah.
So we have this two parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much input will you give to the public?
What do you mean?
Explanation,
by that?
Maybe, or
explanation.
What happens now, or was it? What is it all about? Will you say a lot before, or it's just the music that?
When you ask me if I will introduce the audience or introduce myself and us, and what?
How much will you tell with words, and how much will you tell just by music? I mean, it's two different languages, if you like.
Okay. That's hard to say. hard to estimate.
You only have your instrument.
Yeah, I only have my instrument, but I also use my instrument in a way that's not typically... I have a lot of vocabulary, not just jazz vocabulary or classical vocabulary. I have a lot of what they call alternative techniques, and it would be sounds and different things you wouldn't think a trombone can do. That'll be interesting. Will not be very, very typically sounding. I mean, you heard some of it at that gig, but there's more. So, I mean, that's the challenge, to express Suzanne's text in a way that people understand it, and hopefully my sounds will go along with it, which I feel pretty confident about. I don't know if that's just my New York thing coming through, but it's it'll work. I mean, her stories are very good. Her writing is really excellent. So. And the theme is amazing. I think it's amazing.
So we're going to have two speeches at the same time, yours and mine.
Yeah, right.
Two different cultures as well.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Temperaments. Male, female.
All of that will come in.
All different energies.
All different, the yin, the yang, all of it.
But one intention.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
And that one intention is to reach people on their human level, to make that connection.
That's emotionally.
Emotionally, you know. Music and words can reach people at their deepest levels. And that's when it's... That's when you're successful, when you've made that contact with, you've touched that something inside of them.
Steve, do you think it's going to be sad?
I think it should be everything. I think it should be sad. It should be a celebration, and it should be
celebration.
It should be angry too. You know.
I hope so.
I mean, look, we have a beautiful day today. If I transition over to the other side, I don't know if it's going to be sunny like this. So it'll be a different experience. So we don't know. So
maybe there's a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a thunderstorm all the time.
That's what they say. In us, yes.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. And.
And you. In my soul, it's
okay.
They announced one, I think, for Thursday.
Oh, for the gig, okay.
Metaphor. So we're a little bit joking about this.
Did it ever happen that people cried in the public? Both of you.
I have one thought right away that I go to Portugal quite a bit and play with I play for certain people over there, and a record label does a lot of stuff for me in Portugal. And this one friend of mine, he has a label there and he runs concerts. His name's Pedro Costa, and he's pretty well known, a young guy, and he loves the music. And he invited me to play one time with another band that was playing there, also Americans. And he came back during the intermission, and he was in tears, man. He was in tears. And we were playing free jazz, a lot of it very ecstatic, a lot of very energetic music, and, you know, some soft parts also. But he came back crying, and then I was like, wow. And somebody said, yeah, he does do that sometimes. I mean, here's the guy who, you know, hired us to perform on the venue, was very touched. I mean, that's... The kind of music I play really can do that to people. I mean, it may sound chaotic sometimes to some people who are used to another kind of jazz or music, but it does touch people who love it in a very, very deep level. You know, I know from personally. I'm sorry, I'm going on now.
Yeah, please.
Back in the 70s, when I was still a guy running around New York, going to a lot of concerts and everything, and there was a lot of stuff going on. Carl Berger, who's a well-known German musician who's been living in the States for a long time, had a concert, and there was a woman singer who came out, an African-American woman, and she had her hands were very crippled, right? And she started singing this beautiful, just improvised, crazy thing, and I just like, I don't know, I was 19 years old or something, but I started crying. It was just so, I mean, it just, everything was just so way, just touched parts of me that weren't, you know, hadn't felt before. And it was, I remember that. That was like 1977 or something. But, you know, it does happen. It does happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people walk out on concerts, but that's...
Another thing.
That's something else, you know. But yeah, it does. Yeah, I mean, all the range of emotions, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you with your lyrics. Yes, it happened too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are very angry with me.
Yeah.
I wrote a book about suicide, and and my and there, there was I had a reaction during a lecture, and the conversation afterwards, and there were two women. They said to me, "Oh, now I have to. I want to commit suicide too after your book."
But it was
trying to be
it wasn't. They weren't joking. You're dangerous.
Oh, really?
You're dangerous. Yeah, because
she thought you made suicide look inviting.
Yes, I inspire people to. I depress people.
Why not?
Yeah.
And there were another a younger woman, and she told me that she tried to commit suicide 2 times, you know, and that my book became her favorite book, and she gives it to everybody.
So she's over the...
Yeah, because it's all you say, it's true. And I love my... Yes, I am so happy to have survived this. So
it helped her get through.
All kind of, all the range, as you say, of reactions, of emotions, of understanding and non-understanding. What do we want? Do we want to...
I think if something like music or poetry or writing touches you in a negative way, where it's something, it's a reflection on something about you that you need, I think you need to discover about yourself. And people who react negatively usually don't understand that. But I think that's, I mean, I know for me, there's been music that I just, this person is the greatest guitar player in the world, but I don't really understand what's going on here. And it's less, I have a negative, like, you know, how did he get, you know, what I, you know, I spent some time with it and try to understand it a little bit better. And then I come around, oh, you know, that's why it's so good, because he's doing this thing in this certain way. And now I get it. And I actually kind of, I like it, you know, so I think negative reactions are good too. I mean, you can grow from it if you're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not too many people are, I don't think. If people get negative reactions, that's just it. They just get angry, and then, you know.
I said something about you, about your playing, and it was something like, "Steve, sound breaks invisible chains." Chains. Something.
That's beautiful.
Help me.
To break
invisible chains.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah?
That's great.
You can say so in English too.
Yeah.
Anna.
Yeah.
Does it work?
Yeah.
How does that sound to you?
Sounds great. I'm going to use that. I'll write that down right now, man. That was good.
That's what I felt during your performance 1.5 years ago at the Schützen Jazz Congress. To give an idea. What did they do to you? Yeah, they broke my my invisible chains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it does. It touches you and gets you out of your everyday.
And you can whether accept it or
because we're all wired to think and be in a certain way every day. And we go to work and we do this, we do that, we do that. And music and art, all that gets you to transcend.
That's what art should do.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Should make free.
Absolutely.
Nothing else.
Absolutely.
Free, also free for the negative feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, you should. That's a human emotion. So it's in there. We all have it. So we should experience it and maybe understand it better. Yeah.
Is it also funny? No, we spoke about suicide, but angry, sadness. So is there also a funny side in it?
Yes, I think so. I hope so, because it's life.
Ironic,
it's about life. It's not about dying. I cannot talk about dying.
Sex is something people like to laugh about spontaneously, you know? It's rather a funny thing because it's embarrassing.
Not Not this way.
Dirty things.
We have to find the some humor in it. I think we should try
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I have sex with my girlfriend, she's always laughing, and I never understand why. But that's a very bad joke I just made. No, there's humor in sex, of course. I mean, maybe there's humor in dying. I mean, you hear funny stories about how certain people die. My landlord, who I live in New York City, and my landlord is a very rich man. And he had a weird hobby. He liked being a polo player on horses, you know, old mm-hmm. style. I think that's strange. I don't know how I grew up. That seems strange to me.
It's but a British sport.
It's a British thing, but he's an American, okay? So, and it's like, whatever, some kind of thing he thought he was
eccentric.
Getting getting up into the upper classes or something. Mm-hmm. But as karma would have it, he fell off his polo horse one day and became a paraplegic. And lived that way in a wheelchair for like another 10 years or so, and then passed away. Now, that's probably horrible to his family, but in a certain way, here's this rich guy spent all his life, you know, trying to accumulate money and not much else, and some kind of status with this polo playing. And you know, so there's some humor there, you know, if you step back from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You have other emotions there?
That's it. No emotions left.
Yeah, we will see. So, Thursday, 8 o'clock, Donnerstag, 20 Uhr, ist das richtig, im E-Werk?
Mm-hmm. 20 Uhr, 18.
September. September.
Ich höre immer wieder, da trennt sich was das Publikum, die einen, die sehr viel lachen können in meinen Büchern und andere, die einfach sagen, sie schon genießen können, aber eher die traurige Seite. Und ich glaube, ich erlebe das auch in meiner Person sehr, man sagt es ja auch von Clowns, dass es traurige Menschen sind oder umgekehrt. Ja. Man kann auch Witze machen und sich dabei sehr traurig fühlen. Und Es hat sicher beides was davon. Ich empfinde beim Schreiben auch manchmal einen Witz oder ich habe eine Freude daran, etwas zu formulieren. Und das ist nicht nur was Schweres und was Belastendes, sondern auch, worüber man auch schmunzeln oder richtig loslachen kann. Ob es an dem Abend passiert, ich bin so gespannt, wie die Atmosphäre sein wird. Huh? Mm. I'm very curious about and looking forward to this atmospheres that we are going to create.
Yeah.
And that will depend on the audience as well. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's not only us to create it, I think.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, in a musical situation, improvising, if I'm leading a band or something, I really have my eye on what I'm getting from the audience in terms
mm-hmm.
of their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of make slight adjustments in my band, you know, and, you know. Yeah.
How many people do you expect?
After this interview,
how many would you like to be there? Rather more, rather small group
for us.
The more the merrier, as they say. A lot of people. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if the room is full, you will not be able to see the last.
That's okay.
Line,
so
then
we'll
it's really hard to get in touch.
We'll be able to feel that. You feel that because it becomes an entity unto itself. I think when you know a group of people in one room, musicians,
you will
actors,
provoke some reaction.
Yeah. It will inspire
will.
You to do something. Absolutely.
I count on you.
Yeah, and I count on you. I mean, the quality of Suzanne's work is just like it's just incredible. And I have only read stuff that was translated in English, so.
Yeah, but I tend to close myself. This is too
I'm
not so used to perform as you as you do.
We'll make you relax. It'll be fine.
Okay, maybe
will you come?
Yes, I'd love to come.
Yeah.
Nice.
I would say we could quit right here.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Eva.
Thank,
thank you, Susanne
thank
and Steve.
You. Thank you.
Good
very
luck.
Much.
Viel Spaß.
Dankeschön.
Yeah.